Well, good morning, everyone. And to greet you with peace this morning. Praise God. A wet, rainy morning, and we can be gathered in a nice, warm, peaceful place and sing the music of heaven. Praise God. Shall we rise for a word of prayer this morning? Our Father in heaven, as we pause in your presence here this morning, Lord, we just desire to open our hearts to you. We recognize you're a holy God, and you chose us as your people to follow you and to walk with you, and you desire to have a relationship with us. And Father, we just want to open our hearts to you and pray that you would draw us to yourself, help us to see who we are and who you are. Help us to humble our hearts, just bow before you, and let you work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, we thank you how we richly have heard the word this week already, the Bible school and all the teachings. What a blessing, Lord. Thank you for the freedom we have. Help us, Lord, not to take these things for granted, but to use it to glorify you. Father, just come, direct my thoughts, my words, that I can communicate what you have given me, that it can come forth in a way that can be inspiring, be encouraging, be edifying and strengthening. Lord, we need you. We just commit this time to you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe for an opening scripture, we'll read the chapter of Deuteronomy 6 if you want to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll read the whole chapter. While you turn there, I might write the title on the board here. Title comes out of verse 13 there. Fear the Lord thy God and serve him. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments and statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, and that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, that thou, thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig with which thou digst not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as he tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that ye may be well, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies of the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, unto Pharaoh, and upon all the household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he commanded us. It shall be our righteousness. Romans 10 talks about people not submitting to the righteousness of God, and how they didn't obey, they didn't listen, and they were turned away. They didn't get that righteousness. This morning, as we consider these words among many others, I was struggling a bit with all the teachings we had, everything this whole week. What more is there? We could have sang all morning and have been encouraged and go home. I think most of you have been at Bible school a lot and listened in to the different messages, and it was great. And it almost feels a little awkward to be here and try to share more. What more is there? And yet, the Bible is loaded. So I thought with all the teaching we had for the young people, maybe this morning we'll gear it a little bit more towards some of us in the middle age range, young marrieds, that are kind of in our, not sure how to say, maybe a little bit, we tend to become a little humdrum. We tend to become a little lax. We're busy. We have things to do. But Lord, help us that we would be inspired, be encouraged, be strong in the Lord, and take this good word and teach them diligently unto our children. That's part of my burden this morning, that we would fear God and serve him. I'd like to talk a little bit about wearing a white apron. Maybe talk a little bit about just be a little practical maybe in some things. Just encourage us in our time of raising families and young people. You know, I look back at my teenage years. I didn't have Bible studies to go to and nothing like that. But there was something in my heart that wanted to do what was right. I had a vision. I had dreams and goals. And there's days when I'm struggling or I'm weak, I find myself challenged, and I think back on those times when I was just thinking about my future. And so as you sit here this morning, I prefer you wouldn't just sit down and sleep, even though the message might not be directed towards you as much. Listen in and capture a vision for godly life, for godly families, as you heard all week. Just strengthen that. Keep those things in the back of your minds. Someday, you might be a father or a mother, tired and weary, wake up during the night, and think back on those times when you had all these ideals and these good things you were going to pursue, and you're going to live it out. You're going to do it right. Everybody else is struggling along. You're going to do it right. Think back on those times and regain your strength and your energy that you had in your youth. So, fearing God and serving Him, I think we could also put in there love God. It talks about loving God with all of our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. There's different words, reverence Him. There's different words we could put in there, but the burden is that we would remain faithful and serve God with where we're at, with what we have. Let's not give up. Let's not turn to the things of the world and just drift along. There's more to life than that. There's fulfillment in serving Christ. We're living in a time where there's a lot of prosperity, lots of money to come by, lots of investments. We heard some about that this week. Thank you, Brother David, for sharing on investing in the kingdom. It's the money we give is not spent. It's invested in the kingdom. It'll return to us if we have the humble and a right attitude and heart in that. Let's not lose that first love, even in the midst of trials, real trials. Let's not lose our first love. If we look back and we think of those younger years when we just surrendered our life to the Lord and we were on fire, we just wanted to tell the whole world about it. How come do we just kind of drift along all of a sudden? I think it's because we lose that first love and we don't have a grateful heart. We don't have the zeal. But brothers and sisters, there's purpose in serving God. Establish goals and visions in your young years. They will help you as you get older. If we look at serving the Lord and loving Him, some things change in our perspective, or I find it that way. If we take slavery and we add love to it, it becomes servanthood. If we take leadership and we put love to it, it becomes shepherding. That's a little bit what I would like to talk about, is how are we shepherding our flock, our little flocks at home. I have two pictures here that I might just set up here. We got these a long time ago, and they've just meant quite a bit over the years to me. Jesus sitting there with a child, giving light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet in the way of life. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I don't want to put too much emphasis on pictures, but if I, as a father, have a vision for my family, for my children, and they're still all pretty young yet, we need God's help. I'm speaking to myself. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. This message was laid on my heart, and I struggled with it. I wasn't quite sure how. Feel a little bit inadequate. But you know what? We're in this together. Let's learn together. It's my heart this morning. So do we have time to sit and just hold our children and speak to them about life? becomes a challenge in our daily grind, busyness of life, ends to meet. Do we have time to sit down and just enjoy each other? Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 27, I am among you as one that serveth. Question to myself is, am I among my children serving? Or am I over them, lording it over them? John 10, 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Am I willing to stand in the gap and give my life for my little flock? For my wife, for my children, for my community? Am I willing to serve in this generation? Or have we, like the church in Ephesus, lost that first love? There's a difference in serving God and doing service. We can do a lot of service in our community, in our family, in our home. I can do a lot for my wife. But if I'm doing it because I have to, it's a drudgery, I have to do this. First of all, I won't be blessed, and she probably won't be either. A man from his royal house will want to marry you, and you can enjoy a good home again. Julita shook her head. I am not interested in your offer, she said. I serve my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is all I need, and he provides for my need. I need no other. The proconsul looked at her as if she had lost her mind. Lady, do you not understand what you are saying? If you refuse to worship the gods of the emperor, I will have to sentence you to death. Then what about your son? What will happen to him? God will provide, Julita answered again. You are a foolish woman, he said in disgust. I just offered you the best in the world and you refused. We'll see if you think differently once you have felt the sting of the whip. Throughout the conversation, Quirk has stood quietly beside his mother, holding her hand at the mention of the whip. Several men came forward and seized Julita. The proconsul picked up Quercus to keep him away from the whipping. As the tough cowhide whips tore into her flesh, Julita could hear Quercus' frightened screams as he struggled to escape the captor. Mama, mama, he cried. I want mama. The agony of his cries hurt more than the sting of the whip. She heard the proconsul trying to calm her son, but little Quercus was not going to be soothed by this strange man. Suddenly the screams ceased, and his frightened sobbing came closer to Julita. But as he came running up to her mother, he was snatched away again. So great was Quercus' wailing that the man whipping Julita stopped to watch what was going on. Quercus kicked and screamed and clawed. As the captor's face, determined to escape this dreadful person who had taken him away from his beloved mother. By now, the proconsul's soothing tone had changed to one of anger. Stop it, he yelled. I'll teach you to act like this. Swinging Quercus by the legs, he flung him down a stone step leading out the courtroom. When Quercus lay silently, Julita knew that he was dead. Her heart was crushed, and yet it was also comforted. God had seen fit to take her son home to himself rather than to let him be raised among heathens. She turned to the proconsul. I am not so timid as to be conquered by your cruelty. You have killed my son and are torturing me, but these things do not move my spirit. Your threats of fire and death cannot separate me from the love of my God. It will only take me that much sooner to my dear son and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And rage beyond all reason, the proconsular, the tortures to continue. String her up on the stake, he commanded. He ordered iron combs to be raked over her body to shred her flesh. Then he commanded the men to pour melted pitch over her. Finally, he gave the last command, cut off her head. With this, Julita's suffering ended, and she joined her husband, her son, and her savior. As I read that story, I just considered where my passions are and what drives me. It's very thought-provoking, along with many others. You know, we're in a land of freedom, lots of things. But it will not always be that way. Maybe it will for us in this life, but eternity is just ahead. It is worth paying a price. It is worth paying a price. Jesus paid one for me, and his heart and his desire is that I would give my life in return to him. Whether it's in serving on a mission overseas, whether it's in raising a family, there's a lot of things we can be doing to further God's kingdom and to glorify his name. We're living in a time when people are turning away from the Lord. They're going after their own things. And it does affect us. So I guess my heart and my desire is that we could just take some time and consider today what we're doing, especially for our families and our children. To love the Lord and to work and the work that he has for us right now with a clear purpose for his kingdom. You know, we love the Lord. We talk about loving the Lord, and the Bible says, love the Lord your God. But do we love the work that he has for us? Are we enjoying the work that he has for us? Are we doing it with purpose? The Bible says that David served his generation. The Bible also says that David was a man after God's own heart. What will the future say about the history of myself? We are a part of something much bigger than ourselves. We all have different jobs, most of us. I do some kitchen and bath remodeling, and there's days that I'm up in the attic trying to fish a wire through dusty old insulation. It's not really enjoyable. But it's a part of something bigger. It's a part of providing food for my family. It's a part of the complete job as well. Just finishing a whole kitchen remodel is rewarding in itself. But it goes even much further than that. It provides for my family. And so I don't really mind that much. Yeah, there's things that I don't really desire to do, but you roll up your sleeve and you do it, and soon it's done and you go on with life. It's a part of something bigger. Or maybe you're working in a woodworking shop and you're making this table. Day in and day out, you're just putting furniture together, tables together, whatever. But consider all the things that go into it. You have the wood, you have the hardware, you have somebody at a sawmill cutting the wood, you have a kiln dry, you have truckers, you have all kinds of people involved. Who knows how many people, and at the end, somebody pays for this, and it provides for your job, for your family, for many other people's, as well as think of the memories that are made sitting around the table. It's family gathering, and we're sitting around the table, and we're enjoying our good food and talking and making memories. Somebody made the table. We're a part of something bigger. Or maybe you're a sister, and you're just washing dishes, mending clothes, making more clothes. And then after you've changed the diaper, you hit the repeat button and do it again. I'll just read something that I typed up here, came to my mind. But you're a part of something bigger. You have someone's future husband on your lap, and you are instilling something in his frame of mind. You have someone's future wife. You may have some future church pastor. You have some evangelist, school teacher, missionary, whatever he or she turns out to be. And the attitude that you have, and the singing or complaining, the joys or the sorrows, confidence or the wavering spirit that you are thinking and meditating on, the attitude that you have toward your husband or the leadership, the clothes you buy or make for your adorable little children, oh, this dress is, or this outfit, or these shoes, or whatever you have would look so cute on him or her. The heart of a mother is revealed in the way she dresses her children. Be aware, you are a part of a much greater purpose than just dressing your child. And it will affect that greater purpose in one of two ways, positive or negative. And the choice is ours. The list could go on and on, but let's stop and think about some of these things for a while. We have an opportunity today to mold the hearts of our children. And it's a challenge for me to talk about this because I'm in the middle of it and I see my weaknesses, my shortcomings. But that's not an excuse. We are in this together. Single sisters or brothers, you have no idea the encouragement that little blessing note was that you gave to one of the other sisters, or the cookies that you made that she has to put in her husband's lunch bucket every day this week. You have no idea the blessing you young men can be just by simply taking the time to going over and helping a neighbor, or even just sending someone a text message, encouragement that you're praying for them. Be intentional about the people you serve. That white apron, it's allowed to get dirty. But don't go purchase one that is very colorful and nice that you don't want to make dirty. Are we wearing that white apron and serving our generation today, like David did? Fear God and serve Him. Love changes slavery to servanthood and leadership to shepherding. If you want to turn with me to Matthew 20, we'll get a couple of verses there. It's up to you if you want to turn there or not. Matthew 20, verse 25 to 28. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The Gentiles exercise dominion, lordship, authority. I am over you. I have a greater position. But a lowly shepherd is out to serve his flock. John 4:34, Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." You can also turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. And this is obviously talking a little bit more about elders and maybe the church. But I think we can glean some things as parents and families. The elders which are among you, you as parents, I exhort, who am also a parent, an elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, even our children, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Is Jesus establishing us and strengthening us and settling us? Are we fulfilled in working in his kingdom? Or are we pursuing our own lusts and pleasures that are only for a season? Are we working for that crown of glory that fadeth not away? Another scripture, a couple of verses in Ezekiel 34. If you want to turn there. Ezekiel 34. It's also maybe a little bit more towards children of Israel, the flock out there. And yet, if we read it in the context with our little flocks in our homes in mind. And the word of the Lord, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? So what if I, as a parent, am feeding myself instead of my children, instead of my little flock? Will I rather go out hunting and fishing and working and doing my thing? Woe be to the shepherds that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they were scattered, because there is no shepherd, because there is no father at home, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field, and they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered about upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountainside, upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabitant places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon their high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture. They shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. If you go through there and you consider and you put yourself in there as parents or as your name and the flocks as children, it's pretty clear language there. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became meat to the enemy of the field. What is my responsibility in my home? What is our responsibility in the church? Do we have that white apron? Are we willing to serve our generation? Fulfilling the needs that are out there? Or am I pursuing my own pleasures? What's giving me life? What's giving me energy? Is a week on the beach giving me energy? Or is good day's work for some brother in church or some sister? I'm not lifting one above the other, I guess. I'm pretty neutral, and yet thought-provoking. I think it's good to spend time together as families on the beach. There's nothing wrong with it. And yet, is that our drive? Is that where we find enthusiasm? Or is it in serving our generation? What if we don't serve joyfully? Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, a couple of verses there. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 and 48. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until ye have destroyed thee. Are we serving joyfully? Are we serving joyfully and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things? Psalms 101, verse 6 says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 talks a lot about kingdom principles. A lot of it is praying, fasting, going the second mile, sharing with our things, not collecting for ourselves, not hoarding up, not living for myself. If we could put it in one little phrase, not living for myself, but for others. Going the second mile. Ephesians 5, verse 18 to 20, says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 16 to 18. Actually, I didn't write that reference down. Maybe I'll turn there. Excuse me here. Okay, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord. Oh. So are we finding joy in serving the Lord and serving our generation? What does our closet life look like? Or do we rather stand out on the streets or in the synagogues, preaching and praying and doing things that people see us? What is our closet life? I know my closet life isn't always the way it should be. I'd just like to raise that standard this morning. If we want a true, solid, good relationship with our Lord, we must take time with Him. We must take time with Him. If the Lord is my shepherd, like it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And then he says, wherever it is, he leadeth me. And when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If we expect to come to the valley of the shadow of death without our hope and trust in God, and expect to make it in the hard times, in the trials, in the struggle, We're not going to stand. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is there any want in me? Am I truly at peace and at rest with just simply who I am? Who my family is? Who my parents are? What my past looks like? I mean, there's a lot of garbage there. There's a lot to be desired. And yet it's redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There is no want there. I don't have to struggle with that and be intimidated and feel inadequate and just lost and lonely. I'm free. It's redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There is no want there. There's no lack. Is that our testimony? Is that my testimony? I see areas in my life where I have to grow in, and I desire your prayers. We have lots of good teaching, lots of good things, praise God. But how is it with me? What is my attitude? Where am I? Am I serving my generation? Am I here for my family? What will the future hold? If I go on the way I'm going, where will I end up? Will it be where I want to be? You can't think wrong and do wrong and expect to end up right. So Lord, help us. I know this is just some of my thoughts that I... Yeah. Some of my thoughts that I'm trying to grow in and seeking the Lord for, and just want to put it out there that we can all think about and meditate on and encourage one another. So God bless you all.